Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI.
But we paid off in 2 years $120,000 on a single middle class income. So we definitely hustled.
Wait, how much on
$120,000?
How? What? Like, give me the plan. How did you make that happen on a single income? That doesn't even seem real in just a couple years.
Yes, in 2 years.
You're listening to Monica Louie, our featured guest today from MonicaLouie.com. She has an amazing story to tell about how she got out of debt on a single income. $120,000 in 2 years. So not only does she tell us this story, but she tells how this milestone led into a new blog, which then she sold. And then because so many people were asking her, she then developed her own agency around a special skill that she learned and now serves the world with this skill. And that skill is helping people with Facebook ads. And we actually dive into the end of the show. A lot of specific advice for those of you who are interested in Facebook ads, may have products and have funnels running, and you want to ensure that those things are working really well, where holes might be in those things so that you can actually make more money from them. So we got a lot jammed into this episode. Monica is a sweetheart. She's amazing. She's done a lot. She's an action taker. And most of all, she's super helpful. And this conversation is exactly that. So make sure you stick around. But before then, let's cue the intro.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host, he thought AI was an acronym for All In, Pat Flynn.
Hey, and real quick, our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you haven't tried a sit/stand desk before, this offer from Uplift is the perfect opportunity. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. A desk should fit the user, right? Which is exactly why Uplift Desk has a ton of customization options. They're stable, the materials are solid. I mean, just the choices of material alone are incredible, all the way from laminate to eco to bamboo and even solid wood. The option to stand while working is just healthier, better circulation, better movement, which helps to reduce all kinds of different health risks and repetitive strains. And over 1 million customers have chosen Uplift Desk for their innovative designs, direct to consumer pricing, same day shipping. They can even give you free accessories with every desk. Uplift is a great deal, and they're built to last and include an industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that as well. So go to upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's UPLIFT desk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order. What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 373 of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. My name is Pat Flynn, here to help you make more money, save more time, and help more people too. Today, we're talking with Monica Louie, who is now a Facebook ads expert. She owns an agency and helps a lot of people make more money on Facebook and Instagram. But more than that, she has an amazing, incredible origin story about how she got here, which in and of itself is very educational and very inspirational. And we're just going to dive right in. So here she is, Monica Louie from MonicaLouie.com. Let's go. Monica, welcome to the SPI podcast. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. This is truly an honor.
I'm excited to unpack your journey because you've done a lot. You've accomplished a lot, and it started with a major struggle, and this is a struggle that a lot of people have, and they might even have this right now as they're listening, and that is that you and your family were pretty heavily in debt, and I'd love to sort of uncover that journey of what life was like then and how you've come out of that and have so gracefully built this amazing agency that you have now and are serving many more people too. So do you mind if we kind of go down that route?
Sure, let's do it.
All right, so how... You know, people are probably wondering, well, how much in debt were you? So let me ask you that. How much in debt were you and what year are we in?
Yeah. So back in the summer of 2013, I had just become a stay-at-home mom. So we had a little one, Jaden, who just turned 2 at the time. And then I was pregnant with our daughter, who would be born later that year. And we were trying to be smart in transitioning from 2 incomes down to 1, but I really had this dream of having more flexibility and availability in my schedule to be home with my kids while they were little. Mm-hmm. And so we were trying to be smart about it. We were saving, building up our savings, and we had paid off our car and tried to really, you know, make sure that our budget was lined up with my husband's income before I left my job. But then a couple months into my new role as a stay-at-home mom, we found that our savings was starting to dip. And so I really dove into the personal finance world and figuring out how people, you know, survived and stayed afloat on a single income. And that's when I found that people were not only surviving and staying afloat, but there were people who were paying off massive amounts of debt really quickly. So that really inspired us to get on that pathway because we knew that if we didn't have the debt, then we would feel so much more in control of our financial situation, you know, if something were to happen and my husband were to lose his job. And so we decided then and there that we were 32 at the time. We decided that by the time we turned 40, so 8 years later, that we would pay off all of our debt, including our mortgage. And that total at the time was $320,000 of debt.
So $320,000 in debt. You had some savings and you obviously had a mortgage at the time. But were you sort of like under a lot of loans from schools or other things like that too?
Yeah. So it was, obviously the mortgage was a huge chunk of it. And then we also had our student loans. So Mike had a student loan and I had my student loan. And then we had a home equity line of credit, which was a pretty big balance too. That was about $52,000.
Okay. And how old are you now?
So we were 32 years old.
How old are you now?
Oh, right now. 37 and Mike is 38.
So all that to say, it didn't take you until 40 to make it happen.
Well, we haven't paid off the mortgage. We have the mortgage left. And so we're still working on that. But we paid off in 2 years, $120,000 on a single middle class income. So we definitely hustled.
Wait, how much?
$120,000.
How? What? Like, give me the plan. How did you make that happen on a single income? That doesn't even seem real in just a couple years.
Yes, in 2 years, I know. And that's why I started my first blog following your teachings is because people were asking, you know, how are we doing this, especially my husband's coworkers. And my husband, he's in law enforcement. So, you know, I always like to clarify that because he's not a doctor or a lawyer, you know, bringing it in where it's like we had all this extra cash to just throw at the debt. Mm-hmm. So his coworker started to ask, like, well, what are you guys doing? Because we knew that, you know, Monica just left her job. You transitioned to a single income. What's going on? And so really, I mean, we just got very clear on our goal. And we knew that that was a big goal, that in 8 years, we have $320,000. I mean, we didn't even take a second to do the math of what that would be, you know, how much would we have to pay off each year in order to hit that goal. We didn't think about, like, is that realistic? We just knew that other people had done it. And so if other people could do it, then so could we. And if it ended up taking, you know, 9, 10 or more years, at least we were, you know, hitting the ground running and making as much progress as we could so that we could feel a relief from the debt, mm-hmm. and just feel more control. And so we started off by, you know, I started managing the budget. So I created a detailed spreadsheet of where all of our expenses were going and what money was coming in. I was tracking every single dollar. And my husband really focused on bringing in extra income. And so we ended up selling a whole bunch of things. We had a very successful garage sale right at the beginning where we brought in $1,600 from just selling stuff, you know, over a weekend. And we ended up selling his car, which was, you know, fresh out of college, his dream car at the time, and getting a cheaper car to replace it. We eventually sold his motorcycle, which was his idea. But we sold, you know, we sold the big things, we sold little things, and eventually we ended up deciding to downsize our house. So in 2009, when we got married, it was, you know, the bottom of the market. We got a great deal on this big, beautiful, lovely 6-bedroom home. And we thought that we would fill it with a bunch of kids. And so by the time we had 2, we thought, okay, we're good. And we have these, you know, a couple of extra rooms that we're not using. And we realized that it had grown in value. So we paid off $90,000 by just hustling and bringing in extra income and selling stuff left and right. And then within that, to hit that 2-year mark at $120,000, that was from having a great profit of downsizing into a 3-bedroom house that made better sense for our family.
Yeah. Wow. Well, first of all, congratulations on that. I mean, what a story. And no wonder why people were very curious. I mean, that's kind of unbelievable. And some people, it takes years and years and years. And I think what you did was you really focused on that goal and you kind of made those short-term sacrifices for being able to reach that goal, which then obviously had then enabled you to kind of step out and start your own business, which we'll get into in a moment. But a little bit more on this, I'm curious. When you started your personal finance blog, which is, you know, a great thing to do because then you could share your wisdom with others, what was the name of that?
It was called OurDebtFreeFamily.com.
Our Debt-Free Family. That's right, because that's, you know, you and I got connected when we had both attended FinCon together. Yes. Were you there in 2011 when you saw me speak?
No, I was not there. Good. I learned about the FinCon community. I learned about the FinCon community and that blogging about getting out of debt was actually a thing by listening to your podcast. So when I discovered your podcast 5 years ago in 2014, that's when you were mentioning FinCon as your first, you know, speaking opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait, there's a conference where these people meet. And so I knew that I had to get there eventually. Okay. And then also you talked a couple of times about JD Roth from Get Rich Slowly about how he, you know, built a blog, just sharing a story of getting out of debt and inspiring others. And so that kind of validated my whole idea to start my blog on this topic to help people realize that this is a possibility. You know, no matter your situation, you can take action and make it happen and get relief out from the debt.
That's cool. Yeah. Cause I had forgotten you'd mentioned 2013 is sort of like when this was all going down. And mm-hmm. I first started speaking at FinCon in 2011. So I think we connected a little bit later on. But with your personal finance blog, how was that? And is it still around?
So I actually ended up selling it at the end of 2016. So it is still around. It's just under different ownership. So it looks very different today. But yeah, I mean, that was a great experience. I learned about blogging from Michael Hyatt, which is how I came across your podcast. And so once I came across your podcast, I knew that in staying home, I wanted to build a business that I could, you know, start from the ground up on my own time, you know, still having a flexible schedule to be around and, you know, for my kids as they're little and devote more time to over the years as they grow. And so finding your podcast really validated that that was something that people could actually do with the internet these days. Mm-hmm. And so with that, I mean, I got my start from following and devouring your podcast, really.
That's cool. Thank you so much for saying that. And here we are. You're on the show now. How cool is that?
I know. I feel like this has come full circle. It's a dream.
So 2016, you sold the blog, which is super cool. I've never done that before. And I'm just curious, like, what were your next steps after that? Did you sell it knowing that you had another project in mind, or did you sell it because it was just a good opportunity and then you were going to figure it out after?
Yeah. So through 2000, let's see. So I launched the blog in 2015, and that's when I dove into B School. So through your podcast, I discovered Amy Porterfield and her podcast. And through Amy, I learned about B School. And so I joined B School through Amy's bonus program. And one of her bonuses in that program was a Facebook ads training. And so by the end of 2015, I knew that promoting a webinar would be a great way to share my message, teach more people. And I knew that Facebook ads could help me share my message in front of more people. And so I had, you know, pretty low traffic still and small following, small email list. And so I knew that I had an important message to share. And so that's when I studied, you know, everything about Facebook ads from Amy Porterfield and dove into creating my first campaign. And that converted really well. So to get people onto my webinar, my first campaign converted at $1.26 per sign up. And then I did it again a couple months later, taking what I learned from that first campaign. My cost per sign up was brought down to $1.01. And so then in 2016, as I started to build relationships in the personal finance blogging community and the FinCon community, that's when people started to hear about that I had, you know, gotten these amazing results with my own Facebook ads and started to ask me for help with their Facebook ads. And so through to 2016, I started to help other, you know, online business owners really grow their businesses. And I found my passion for that and really helping people behind the scenes. And so by the end of 2016, that's where I felt my calling to pursue my, you know, my love of Facebook ads, because by that time I had validated to myself that I was working with different people with different, you know, audiences, offering, you know, different things via Facebook ads and having great results across the board. And I was having a lot of fun at the time. And so that's when I ended up selling the blog and transitioning to full-time Facebook ads coaching at that time.
Okay. So you had already dabbled in ads and helping others and serving others like client work. And you had the blog, but you're like, you know what? I think I'm gonna give this a run and go full time with it. So you sold the blog, and so was it just you at the start? And I know you have a number of people who work for you now. I'm curious to know what that journey was like to sort of starting on your own, helping a few people here and there, to then growing your business to where it's at now.
Yeah. So in 2017, then I had fully transitioned, and I had just a part-time VA just helping me with, you know, manage email and a little bit, you know, of admin work. But then as the demand for my help with Facebook ads really grew, then I ended up hiring more help onto my team and creating my course in the fall of 2017. And so my team helped a lot with creating the course and then also launching the course. And then that's when we started, by the end of 2017, I started to get more requests for ads management rather than just coaching and teaching Facebook ads. So with that, we started small because I really wanted to make sure that if we were going to grow this ads management side of the business, that we really had great processes in place and could really feel very confident in the service level that we deliver. And so at the end of 2017, my team continued to grow and we started to put these processes into place so that by the beginning of 2018, that's when we were like, okay, let's do this. And so our team has grown quite a bit since then. And now I'm just so proud of what we've built. I feel like we have really great systems and processes in place. And we've worked with now a variety of different clients and different niches in the online world and are getting really great results.
How had you been marketing your agency? Has it, you had said in the beginning, it was being in the personal finance space that kind of put you in that world and people just started to ask you, are you still getting sort of just word of mouth as your main driver?
Yeah, mostly it's word of mouth and referral. Sometimes, you know, people will say that they find me via Google search or a podcast interview that I've done. But really most of it has been through word of mouth and referral.
That's fantastic. Well, first of all, awesome job. What has it been like sort of as a business owner now with clients and employees and contractors and responsibilities and systems and workflows? Like, you're a boss. Like, this is very different than just a blogger. Tell me pros, cons of what it's like to be in your position.
Yeah, it's been a learning experience for sure, because and a lot of learning to let go. So I know, like, as I like everything to be, you know, A plus quality work. And with our ads, we're definitely there. But with our processes, I mean, it was a lot for me to just get in the right mind space to let go and trust my team. And so now I feel like I've grown a lot in that respect. But really, I've spent this last year, you know, helping my team grow and develop these processes, but then also moving into the CEO mindset so that going forward, now I can have this, you know, big vision goal of where are we headed and what needs to be, you know, what needs to be done. What is my role in the company now? Where, you know, where is my time best spent? And really just empowering and trusting my team.
So how would you define your role as a CEO in what you do?
So now, I mean, I'm still very involved in client work, but so I'm still meeting with clients and managing what my team is doing, but we're growing up the team members there. So eventually they can step into leadership roles themselves. But I'm also focused on, growing the brand and growing the awareness of the course. And also I'm going to be launching my own podcast following Power Up Podcasting here very soon. Yes.
Do you have a name for it so we can find it in the future?
Not yet, but I'll let you know. What?
Oh, no. Okay, we'll link to it in the show notes later.
Okay, I will let you know.
Just pick a name and go. That's what I teach my students. You can always change it later. But anyway, okay, so a podcast coming out. Cool. So seems like, you know, you've handed off a lot of that work that you initially did. Like, are you still in the ads manager for clients?
So I'm not the one setting up the ads. We have a whole process in place around brainstorming ad ideas and getting the copy and the image selection and all the creative side reviewed and approved. And then we have the ads assistant set up the new ads. And then we have another ad assistant or ad manager review that setup to make sure everything, you know, all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed and everything is good to go before we turn it on and get it going active. So I'm not the one in there, but I definitely go around, you know, go in and check in on things, especially as I'm meeting with clients.
That's awesome. What's been the biggest struggle for you since sort of being your own boss in this way?
Oh, just knowing, I think knowing where to best use my time. You know, there's always so much to do and there's always so many great ideas, you know, different projects that we can take on. You know, it'd be so great if we, you know, really focused on this or if we focused on growing this, you know, social media following or whatever. There are a lot of, you know, shiny objects, and especially, you know, I love to learn and I want to be on the latest cutting edge of what is, you know, what are the best strategies now, but also, you know, what we've really been working on this year is, you know, collecting those ideas, but then saying, you know, saying no to them for right now and saying that, you know, we'll revisit them when we are planning our next quarter. So we've been following the strategy this year of the book, The 12-Week Year. And so that's helped to break down our goals and projects and basically a quarterly basis in about 12 weeks. And so we're very clear on what our focus is this 12-week year period. And so if what our new great ideas don't align with that, then we need to table them until we evaluate, you know, with clear heads and on what makes sense for the next 12-week year goals.
I love it. Now, Monica had been a part of my recent SPI Accelerator program, among several other people that you've potentially have heard on the show before, like Alex from Travel Fashion Girl and Azul Torrenes and a few others. And I'm just, again, want to publicly just say thank you for being a part of the group, Monica. You've contributed so much to a lot of the other group members' success. And I know it's also in return to you from the others and myself as well. And it was a great experience. We had a whole year together and I got to see you grow as a business owner, as a CEO. And there were a lot of things that we worked on. Of all the things that we discussed in our time together with our coaching calls and the retreats that we've had together, what would you say is the biggest sort of revelation or realization or learning experience that you've had from being in the group? What was the biggest breakthrough for you?
So it's been such an incredible experience. I mean, this year has gone by so fast, but also to think about like where I was, you know, as a business owner and where my business was, you know, this time last year when we started, I'm just blown away at the growth in myself and my team and my business and how proud I am in what we built, in this past year. And the SBI Accelerator has had a huge impact in that. And I think that the biggest breakthrough has been just really stepping into owning and appreciating everything that we've built. And, you know, when I entered the program last year, I very much felt like this sense of imposter syndrome, like really me, like I was so excited to be included, but I also didn't know if I was really, you know, at the level of the others in my business journey, since my business was still relatively new. It was, you know, just over a year old at that time. And, so now I think that, you know, this was something that came out of the last retreat, is just really owning, you know, what we offer, what we do, how we help people, what our ripple effect and impact is in the world. And that's something that I've really stepped into communicating with my team over and over and over again, is talking about, you know, it's not just about brainstorming this ad or driving traffic to this blog post or, you know, getting more people onto this webinar. It's about the impact that we're making through our clients. And so we talk a lot about that we really value what we do because we help great people help more people. And so just thinking about that expanded reach that we have by the work that we do has really meant a lot, and just helps me fulfill my long-term vision that I've always had about, I knew that I wanted to make a great impact in the world. And now I'm actually living that dream. I'm making it true each and every day with my team. And a lot of that confidence came from the SBI Accelerator experience.
That's cool. That's so awesome. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that and the kind words about the SBI Accelerator. For those of you curious about that, the applications for that may open up again in August after FlynnCon. So you may hear more information about that. And anyway, stepping into your role, owning it and being confident in it is so important as a business owner. As you know, Monica, and everybody listening should know, I mean, I've done episodes just about this topic alone, because it really plays a role in everything that you do. The decisions that you make and the copy that you write, the emails that you send, what lives on your sales page, and how you sell and what you charge and all those kinds of things. And in all those realms, Monica, I've seen you grow this year, and it's been amazing to see the transformation, especially stepping into and realizing that, in fact, you are offering so much to your clients and you didn't even know. Like, you didn't even know how much above and beyond you were offering your clients versus what a lot of other people were offering. And that was a huge realization that I think allowed you to step into that role a lot more confidently and know that, you know, you offer this sort of boutique service, it was really cool to see that. So for the second half of the chat here, Monica, I'd love to pick your brain a little bit about Facebook ads. You know, I've had a lot of friends on who have talked about Facebook ads before, and I love getting new, fresh perspectives, and we're going to have more Facebook ad people come in again, but it's always a good reminder for people to, and it's just great to learn this stuff as we go. So in today's day and age, like what is working right now on Facebook? I believe you, in the special way that you teach, is you have a lot of these sort of, there's like certain ways that you teach this stuff that make it easy to absorb. Do you want to go into some of those things?
Yeah, let's do it.
So where do you want to start? Teach me Facebook ads, Monica.
Yes. Okay. So what, you know, a lot of times people are kind of mystified, like there's this mysterious, you know, feel around Facebook ads. Like they feel, I know when I first started learning, it felt very intimidating. You know, I'm going to give Facebook money and just kind of cross my fingers and hope that, you know, I get the results that I want.
Basically.
Yes. Yes. That's how it feels. And really, it actually comes down to three main elements. And so I call them the three pillars of a high converting campaign. And so in order to have success with your Facebook ads, you've got to have all three of these things working together. And if even one of them is off, then your results are going to suffer. So the first pillar is you've got to have an amazing offer. So whatever you're promoting with your ad, it could be as simple as you want to get more eyes on your latest video, or you want to drive traffic to your blog post, or you want to, you know, offer your webinar and get people to register for your webinar, or you want to offer your paid product to your warm audience, you know. So whatever your offer is, it has to be something that is amazing, that people actually want. So that's the first piece. The second piece is you've got to get that offer in front of the right audience. And so Facebook makes this really easy to do, but there are a lot of different options when it comes to audiences and targeting. But you've got to get your amazing offer in front of the right people who are likely to be interested in that offer. So does that make sense?
Yeah, we're kind of working backwards here, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then the third piece is the ad. The ad has to grab attention and it has to entice people to take action. So when I think about Facebook, it is very much like Times Square. So, you know, if you've been to Times Square or you've just seen even pictures of it, you know that there's a lot going on. And I think that Facebook is very much the same way. You know, we have our notifications, we have our friends posts, we have our family's posts, we have our, you know, people in our network posting, we have the groups that we're a part of, we have events we're being invited to, you know, Facebook pages that are posting and, you know, friends who are inviting us to like their Facebook pages. So there's a lot going on in the world of Facebook. So your ad has to stand out. It has to first grab attention, but then it has to entice the user to take that action that you want them to take. So those three things have to work together. So if you're not getting the results that you want with your Facebook ad campaign, then it's likely one of these areas just needs a tweak.
Gotcha. Do you need to spend a lot of money in order for ads to be successful?
Absolutely not. So with my students, a lot of my students will start at $5 or $10 a day. And I generally recommend anywhere from $20 to $30 a day to get started. Now, if you have more to invest with Facebook ads, then you can do a lot more testing a lot more quickly. But a lot of my students have success with just getting started at $5 or $10 a day. And they set up their ad, they get it going, and then they kind of see, you know, what's working. Are they getting the results that they are looking to achieve? And then if not, or they think that they can do better, then they'll set up a new test with either, you know, a different variation. So either a new audience or a different image in the ad, some kind of tweak in order to lower those costs over time.
Got you. What, going back to what you said earlier that you started with, which to me is the most important thing, it's the offer. Because you can have a great ad and great copy, you could target the right people, but if that offer is terrible, like it's all for nothing really.
Right.
What are the biggest mistakes that you see when it comes to the offer?
I think being clear on, you know, what the offer is and being clear in your copy what the offer is. So that's something where we'll see that some people are a little bit fuzzy and not making sure that the offer is clear. So if we're offering, you know, a free webinar, then we might call it, you know, free workshop, free masterclass, and making that clear by either adding a little bit of text in the image or putting that directly in the headline. Just being clear on what the offer is, and then also making sure that you're positioning it in a way where it's enticing to your ideal audience. So it does come back to understanding your audience and knowing what they want, what they're looking for, what their pain points are, what their struggles are, you know, what is the best way that you can help them. And I know this is something we've talked about a lot about in the SBA Accelerator is that, you know, sometimes in order to really help the people that you want to serve, you need to entice them with what they want before you can really give them what they need. So think about that in crafting your offer.
I love that. And you know, ad copy, I think, scares a lot of people too, which is why a lot of people avoid doing ads because they're just like, I'm not a copywriter. Like, what do I even say? They even fire up Facebook and then they're at the point at which they have to write an ad. And then it's like, okay, well, I'm done. Any advice on if somebody wanted to do it themselves, like what to look out for when actually writing copy and creating an ad?
Yeah. So this actually comes back to the offer as well. So we do a lot of traffic campaigns where we're driving traffic to a blog post. And so with that, you know, all we're asking for, the ask of the ad is a click through because we want people to, you know, read and engage with the blog post. So with that, then our ad is structured very differently than if we are offering a webinar where we want somebody to, you know, not only give over their name and email, but also spend an hour of their time engaging in that training. So with that, with the offer, you know, you need to understand how big of ask are you offering, and then give the audience as much information as they need in order to click through and be confident that they want to take advantage of that offer. So that's what we want to see. If we're driving traffic to a webinar, then we will oftentimes have, you know, longer copy because we need to be clear on who is offering the webinar, why they're credible in order to teach this stuff, and then also, you know, answer the what's in it for me question. So what are the benefits of attending the webinar? What is the audience going to get out of that? And so we like to break that down by bullet points within the ad copy. So really, our ad copy is a lot longer than if we're just driving traffic to a blog post. But then at the end, we also have a very clear call to action. You know, click the Learn More button below to secure your spot today. Or, you know, just make it very clear, very easy to understand what the offer is, what the benefits are, who's putting it on, and then also what, you know, how they can take advantage of the offer.
Got it. Okay. And for those of you listening, I'm just asking questions based on my own experience working with ads on myself and trying to do it on my own a while back. And so another question I have is, when you run the ads, I know that it should never be just sort of a set it and forget it kind of thing. There should be some maintenance. There should be some key things that you should look out for to understand sort of how to pivot or what to do next. What might some of those things be after we start launching a campaign and we start to see some numbers and conversions come in?
Absolutely. So there's always a testing period. And so I just love that you pointed that out already. You know, as much as we want Facebook ads to be a set it and forget it process, it usually never is. And so we want to be keeping an eye on our ads. I recommend checking in on your ads about every day or so. You know, if you're running a short-term promotion, then you might want to keep an eye on them a little bit more frequently. But if this is kind of an evergreen campaign, then you want to, you know, check in with them every day or so and see how things are going. And so it usually takes the algorithm about 4 to 7 days to kind of see what's working and then optimize the ads for you. And so that's something that I wish more people understood about Facebook ads, is that Facebook actually wants you to have success with their platform. So, you know, if you think about their business model, they want advertisers to come back time and time again to spend even more money in their platform. And so they've built this very sophisticated algorithm that analyzes the data constantly and sees what's working. It's looking at who in the audiences that you've selected are actually taking that action that you want, you know, people to take. And so over time, as it learns, it will start to look at the audiences that you've selected and say, okay, well, these people are opting in. And so let's show the ad to more people who are similar to these people and also more likely to opt in. So that's something that the algorithm will help you do over time, but you've still got to be on top of your ads and see what's working, because there will be times where we set up an amazing ad and it works great for months, but then eventually, you know, it kind of loses steam. And it could just be that it's a timing issue, that maybe it was great for, you know, the first part of the year or for the holidays. And then, you know, that time of year just kind of, you know, is over. And so we need to come up with another idea. But we always monitor our ads to make sure that, you know, what has been working is still working. And then for any new ads, we monitor them closely from that 4 to 7 day period to see, you know, what are the best performers? What are the lower performers? Do we need to turn some things off? Should we be increasing budgets and making some changes? And then also, what are we learning from the results that we're getting? You know, is this angle of our ad copy really resonating with people? Are we seeing comments on our ads where people are asking questions that we can address in a new version of the ad with, you know, new ad copy? So we're looking at all of those things.
Engagement is important, like comments and should you reply to ads and those, or comments and those kinds of things that are happening with your ads?
Absolutely. Yes. Facebook loves engagement. And so we always encourage our clients, if you're getting, you know, comments on your ads, to respond to them, you know, if it makes sense. If they're just tagging their friend, then you don't necessarily need to say, you know, thanks for sharing. But if they're asking a question, or maybe expressing a concern, or, you know, expressing some doubt, there are a lot of people, you know, a lot of skeptical people out there, then, you know, showing up and responding to people. Facebook loves when you interact in the comments as well, but then also other people seeing that ad will appreciate that there is somebody there, you know, monitoring the ads and responding to people. So that just helps to build trust with other people who are also viewing the ads.
Right. Yeah, I've seen that before, both on Facebook and Instagram, with products that I'm curious about. I'll actually go into the comments to see what people have to say. And it's kind of nice every time I see somebody who represents that product in there. It does make me feel a little bit better about potentially purchasing something, for sure. So any comment would help. Does that mean if there was a person who perhaps put like a controversial comment and I insinuated that and made it even more one-sided and tried to like, you know, stir up more conversation and bring more people, like, well, that is that a smart strategy, or is that kind of like gray hat to like kind of stir up conversation for the purposes of engagement?
You know, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think stirring up conversation can be great, because Facebook definitely, I mean, we know at the beginning of 2018, there's a big algorithm change, and Facebook has told us that they are prioritizing engagement, and they want to see conversation happening in the comments of posts, but also same as with ads. And so if somebody, you know, is coming across, you know, skeptical or whatever, you know, if you can keep that conversation going and learn more, then why not do it? Because Facebook favors that conversation. But then that'll pique other people's curiosity. And remember, the first goal of the ad is to grab attention. And so if you can get attention, even if it's in the comments, you know, that can help the performance of the ad and have the ad get shown to more people.
As long as that conversation is sort of in and around that topic of the product, right? Because I can imagine some people going, ooh, okay, I'm going to start something super political and, you know, one-sided on my next Facebook ad, just to, even though my ad is for like dog food, I'm going to, you know, talk about Trump and whatever and just see what people think. And then, yay, Facebook will reward it for me. Probably not the best way to go.
If it's, you know, off topic and just not relatable, then we will just, you know, typically hide those comments. So the commenter still sees that their comment is there, but other people won't see their comment, you know, because we don't want to distract from the goal
of
the ad.
Exactly.
But yeah, but you know, if people are asking, you know, questions or you know, sharing some comments that are related to what the ad is about, then definitely engage. But otherwise, we don't want it to be a distraction.
And then in terms of like people to target, how do we know who to target? And, you know, I remember, and this was a long time ago, Monica, but I remember going in there on my own without any instruction going, okay, who would buy my product? Okay, probably a person between 18 and 65, because it really is relevant for all of them. And then, well, it's both male and female. And, you know, here's the annual income, you know, maybe a little bit on the higher end because this is a more of a premium course. And then in the interests area, I'll be like, okay, well, you know, let's say I'm selling like a photography thing. I'm just going to put photography and filmmaking and camera equipment and just that. And that was my targeting. That was it. Like I'm sure there are more sophisticated ways and better ways to target beyond that. Is that right?
Sure. So there are three main kind of categories of audiences that you can create, and you can mix and match. But, you know, thinking about, again, what your offer is and what the goal of your campaign is, then, you know, does it make sense? If you're offering a paid product from your ad, you want people to click through and make that purchase, then, you know, depending on what that is and the price point of that product, then you likely need, you know, is going to have better results if you're putting that in front of a warm audience. So you can create several audiences around your warm audience already. Mm-hmm. So you can target, you know, obviously your Facebook fans, people who've engaged with your Facebook page, even if they haven't, you know, hit that like button, but if they've been engaging with your posts, then you can get back in front of them. Your email list, you can upload into Facebook. And if you have, you know, segments of your email list, so let's say, you know, with your photography example, you know, then you've got your email list segmented where,
like,
you know,
Nikon
this type
users
of,
versus Canon or Sony or whatever.
Yeah, then you can upload that specific segment into Facebook so that you can get your ad in front of them. So you have a lot of different options there with your warm audiences. But then my favorite type of audience is the lookalike audience. And that's where you can take any of those warm audiences and tell Facebook, you know, look at these people, this group of people, and help me find more people like them who are also likely to be interested in what I have to offer. And so that's where we put the work on Facebook, which I love to do, because we will say, you know, these people are on my email list. So they've already raised their hand. They want to hear from me and, you know, learn from me. And so Facebook will look at those people and they will see their common interests, their, you know, common demographics, their similarities, and it'll go into their, you know, world of Facebook users and say, okay, these other people also have those similar characteristics. So you do need to specify which country or region that you want Facebook to look at. But primarily in the United States, then we can start with our source audience and create a lookalike audience of 2.2 million people. And if the goal is to grow your audience with Facebook ads, then that's where I like to start.
Love it. Thank you. Should we just keep going for a few more minutes here? I'm really digging this. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I know as a business owner that having a product is and a good one and a great offer is important, but sharing that product immediately isn't always the best way to go because some people need to be warmed up a little bit. They need to be proven that this is something they should get and should buy and they're qualified for it, et cetera. Meaning there needs to be some sort of funnel. So a point of entry into an email list, for example, in some sort of way, whether it's a lead magnet or a webinar, that then leads into sort of a small nurture sequence and then perhaps emails related to proof and testimonials about the product and then eventually the offer and all those kinds of things. And then, you know, obviously, in addition to that, follow-up emails related to how much time they have left and then the cart close if it is sort of one of those offers that where the cart does close. No matter what it is you're offering, whether it's cart open all the time, evergreen, or cart close, a funnel is important. And to me, it's like you could run ads to a great product, but if the funnel's not working, then it's almost kind of you're wasting money too. And I know that you offer some help for people to understand what's going on in their funnels. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
And so can you help us understand like where the common problems in people's funnels? Like I remember we were on a call recently and you had said like, you know, it's a problem when people's funnels are leaking. And so where are the biggest leaks that we can all kind of listening check to make sure aren't leaking as much, I guess?
Sure. So it depends on, you know, what is the main strategy in your funnel? Is it a webinar funnel where your first entry point is to drive traffic, you know, via ads to an evergreen webinar, for example, then, you know, how well is that webinar converting? You know, so first of all, when people are coming from the ad to the webinar registration page, we want to make sure that that conversion rate is solid.
That's so a conversion point number one, right?
Yes, exactly. Because as I mentioned earlier, when people click through from the ad, we want them to be ready to go. Yes, I'm signing up for this. So we're generally looking for a 40 to 50% at least conversion rate on that landing page. One of my students, we made some tweaks to her landing page, her webinar registration landing page during one of our group calls. And now her landing page went from converting to like from 23% now up to 73% with just some simple tweaks to the landing page. So that can have a big impact in your cost per conversion and then also driving leads into your sales funnel.
What was like, if you don't mind sharing one thing that she did on that landing page that made a big difference?
Yes. So what we look at, one of the things I always look at is how mobile friendly is the landing page? I pull in 80 to 90% or more of the Facebook users that we're driving traffic to are on mobile. And so we want to make sure that all landing pages throughout the entire sales funnel and emails are mobile friendly, that they're easy to view and open and see and click on and, you know, sign up for on a mobile device. And so always pull up your landing page on your phone and then see, you know, is the call to action button or the, you know, the sign up form, is that right there on the screen or do I need to scroll down a little bit in order to submit my information? Ideally, we want to make it as simple as people as we can for people to take that action. And knowing that most people are on their phones, we need to make sure that we don't have distracting pop-ups or, you know, other things that we're making it harder for them to take the action that we want them to take. And if they're clicking through, they're likely interested in taking as well.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That's super helpful. Okay. So conversion point number one is, let's say we're doing a webinar promo. That's from the ad to the webinar registration. That's conversion point number one. What's the next conversion point or potential leak place?
Yes. So are we making it easy for people to join the webinar? So are they needing to, you know, is it an on-demand webinar? Is it scheduled out a few days? And I've seen both strategies work, but just making sure that it's very clear and it's not cumbersome for people to actually get onto the webinar. So again, the webinar, you know, viewing page, is that mobile friendly? Is it easy to see what's going on the webinar? You know, so that could come back to your slides in the webinar. You know, are you making the text big enough so it's easy to see on a mobile device? And then, you know, how well does your webinar convert? So looking at, you know, the path that you're taking people through, does it make sense? Are you, you know, acknowledging objections and speaking to those in your webinar? Are you showing case studies and client testimonials, you know, and offering your product and really stacking the value and showing what an amazing value it is, you know, for your product? Are you having any kind of scarcity or urgency opportunity for people to take action right then on the webinar before it ends, or at least within a couple of hours of watching the webinar? When people are really excited, you know, they've just spent, you know, 45 minutes to an hour engaging in your content. And so if they're excited at that point, then grab them, you know, right then, give them a great reason to buy right then without, you know, delaying, you know, giving themselves more time to come up with excuses or reasons why it won't work. Mm-hmm. So with that, then after the webinar, you know, what does your email sequence look like? And even if you have, you know, if the webinar is scheduled out for a couple of days later, what is that onboarding, you know, welcome to the webinar, your webinar time is scheduled. Like, what are those email open rates and click-through rates? So looking at all those details, if you're having lower email open rates, then look at your email subject lines. It could be just a quick fix, a quick tweak can really change what's going on there. But then also, is it clear? Is your call to action to click through to go visit the sales page from your email? Is that really clear? Is that standing out? And so then again, what is the sense of urgency in your funnel during that duration? You know, what is going away if they don't buy now? Is it just that, you know, okay, now you know I have this product and you can buy it at any time? Or is there a bonus that's going away, a limited time discount? You know, where is that sense of urgency? Are the doors closing? And then, you know, making sure that you're again reminding them of the amazing case studies and testimonials that you have. You are answering their, you know, the frequently asked questions that address the objections that are likely going on in their minds. You know, is this right for me? Make sure you're answering that question. And then just being very clear on what they're going to be missing out on if they don't take advantage now. So that's during the main funnel. And then we have other strategies after the funnel where we can re-engage those people, you know, and then either offer them a downsell afterwards or, you know, offer them the offer later on after we've, you know, continued to build that relationship with them.
Woo!
Yes. That was awesome. To me, it's like you have to think about where people enter. And from that point forward, you have to think about every single, not conversion point, because the conversion is a result of the decision that they make. So what decision points are there in that process? They're either deciding on something or consuming something. And after they're done consuming something, they're going to decide something. And I don't know if how you help people, but I know that I've helped people understand what goes on in their funnels by just literally drawing it out on a whiteboard, on a piece of paper. Like, they come in here and then they go here. And that's a decision point. Like, how many of them are going to go from there to there? And then, you know, what emails exist there? And you can even get into the micro level of like, okay, a person gets an email in their inbox. How are they going to decide to open that email, which then informs like the subject line of that email, right? So it's like,
exactly,
it's all these decision points. Is drawing out a chart like that like a good exercise for people to do if they have a product to understand kind of like what's happening behind it?
I think that's a great idea. I mean, always think about the user experience. You know, step into your avatar's brain. Where are they in their life? You know, what is going on that in their life that makes them, you know, interested in what you have to teach or what you have to offer? And, you know, think about if I were my avatar, you know, then what am I thinking as I go through this? Does this email subject line appeal to me? Or do I not care? And so just think about it through the eyes of your audience. If you've already got people who have taken advantage of that offer, then survey them and ask them, you know, what was that trigger point that made you buy? If you've got people going through your funnel and they're not taking advantage of the offer, then follow up with a survey as to, you know, what was missing for you? You know, what was it that didn't, you know, made you, you know, not take advantage of this amazing deal right now? So, you know, definitely ask those questions and you'll get a lot of insight into communicating with your current, you know, students or buyers. And then also communicating with the people who decided against making that purchase. Mm.
This is perfect, Monica. I think we've given people a really good start and at least a number of things to think about. If you have a product, especially, and you want to start pumping ads into it to not waste their money. So thank you again for being on the show today and for telling us your story, first of all. And that's super inspirational in and of itself. But not only that, just how you're now able to sort of, like you said, change the world and help great people help more people. And for those who are interested after listening to this and want to know more from you or get started or understand how you could serve them, where might they go?
Yes, they can go to monicalouie.com/SPI. And there I will have my free Facebook ad starter kit that breaks down the 6 simple steps to creating campaigns that convert. So it puts a lot of what we talked about today and then even more so into, you know, creating your campaign plan. And then also I've got a checklist because everybody loves checklists, at least I do, for how to, you know, create your plan, make sure you've got all of the information that you need so that you can go into the ads manager with confidence. And then from there, you can learn more about, you know, what it's like to work from me if you're interested in that as well.
Booyah. MonicaLouie.com/SPI. Monica, thank you so much for coming on. It's been long overdue. Thank you again for being a student in the accelerated program, but most of all for taking action and actually servicing others who need your superpowers. So great job. And thanks again.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Monica Louie. Again, you can find her and her Facebook ads gift, her Facebook ads starter kit for you. You can find that at MonicaLouie.com/SPI. One more time, MonicaLouie.com/SPI. And make sure you check out the show notes at smartpassiveincome.com/session373. That way you can get the links and the resources and the name of your new podcast, whatever that might be, because we don't know what that is at the time that I am recording this. So she's still working on it, but she's a student of Power Up Podcasting as well and in my accelerated program. And I'm so happy to see her, just like we had promised, accelerate. So great job, Monica. I appreciate you. I know you and the other accelerator students are listening to this show. And like I said earlier, for those of you interested in the accelerator program, just stay tuned. I'll be announcing it on all the channels later on. You can apply to that, and there's more information about that. And that's for the sort of higher level established businesses in the SPI audience, which Monica had at the start. And she just needed some rejigging to get it going into the right direction. And just great job, Monica. And thank you again. Again, to check out her Facebook ad starter kit, you can go to monicalouie.com/SPI. And again, thank you for listening all the way through. Appreciate all the amazing reviews that have been coming in, even the 1-star reviews, because they're very honest. And I appreciate the honesty online. We need to see more of that. And if you honestly love the show, please honestly leave a review on iTunes as well. And I look forward to reading that there. Team Flynn, you're amazing. Hey, Team Flynn for the win. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Hey, have you ever wondered what makes the difference between a 1- and a 5-star review? Well, turn into Behind the Review, a phenomenal podcast from the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Each week, Yelp's small business expert, Emily Wojcikovic, features a different conversation with a different reviewer or business owner to find out what was really going on, as the title suggests, behind the review. Recently, for example, Emily featured an episode about Aldea Country Eatery, the number 5 spot in the world on Yelp's top 100 places to eat. Emily interviews a wide variety of customers and business owners from a wide variety of industries, tabletop gaming companies, fitness industry, you name it. This is a really fascinating peek into what makes a great customer experience for any business, and you won't want to miss out. So listen to Behind the Review right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.